plan three or four things for a weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, if you tell them, hey, I'm having a party at my house, you know, you're invited. And they say, oh, that's great. Well, that's not a firm commitment that they're going to be there. That's just, that sounds great. And then they tend to overbook their schedule, and then they kind of pick what they feel is going to be the most enjoyable thing to do at that moment. Mm-hmm. So sevens move very, very quick. So, and they're thinkers. They're thinkers and doers. They repress feelings. So they're similar to threes. They're running away from fear. Usually they have some type of unresolved issues in their unconscious, and they feel like, hey, if I keep myself busy enough and I fill my schedule and I got people around me that love me and think I'm funny and love to hear my stories, then that pain will never catch me. You know, and that's so the sevens move very, very quickly. Next time you get passed on the freeway by a red car, that's a seven. That's how I drive. I drive the freeway and I wait for the sevens to pass me. I just look for the bright colored cars to pass me, and then I just kind of follow them. Then I don't get tickets.
Is it usually a red car?
It's usually a bright colored car. Yeah, they're unconsciously seeking stimulation, so they tend to choose brighter colored cars.
Interesting.
So yeah.
So before we finish with the eight and nine, are these different personality traits within every individual as though they may come out at different times? Because it feels like, as you're describing them, thinking about myself, and obviously people are coming to mind, like popping to mind, like, oh, I know that person, and they're just coming up. But I'm also thinking about how within myself those different aspects of myself play out mm-hmm. at different times. And so I'm just curious about your perspective on that.
That's a great question. I believe that your behavior, you're gonna exhibit behaviors from all of the different personality styles, I believe, just because you've lived with so many different types of people. Mm-hmm. And so even though you have a behavior style that's similar, like the threes and the sevens are similar, I do things that are very seven-like, it's not, doesn't have the same core value. So you're going to have the same core value. And ultimately, you know, everyone asks, what's the best number? And I tell them it's the three, of course.
Your number?
In my number. Right. No, the best number is no number. The best number is for you to be consciously aware that your behavior is just habitual. It's just a habit. Most of it is, and it's something that you've been just doing unconsciously for your entire life. And if you can recognize that your behaviors, what you think and what you do, are just habitual, and you can catch yourself in the act and say, hey, I used to do it like that, but you know what? Today I'm going to choose to do it like this. That's the most empowering thing you can do for yourself. And if you can look at all the positive characteristics, because all the personalities have positive and not so positive characteristics about them, and if you can start to adapt some of the strategies that the different personality styles use, ultimately what you want to be is a blend of all of them.
Right.
One thing that I've noticed in sharing this information with people and finding out what personality style they are, the ones that are more healthy are the most difficult to type because they're not habitual. The ones that are super unhealthy and they're just behaving the same way over and over and over again and they don't even realize that it's a habit, mm-hmm. those people are easy to spot. You can spot them in a second because they're just so locked into that particular personality. Mm-hmm. But as you become more healthy and you start recognizing your behavior and your awareness increases and you have the flexibility to change course in your direction. You know, one of my favorite analogies is if you had a Ferrari, a brand new 2016 Ferrari sitting in your driveway, mm-hmm. you'd be pretty happy, right? Well, what if that car did not have a steering wheel? You got this beautiful car in your driveway, but it doesn't have a steering wheel, right? So what value is it? There's no value because that car does not have the ability to change direction. So although it's sitting in your garage and looks good when your neighbors drive by, that car has no value. And eventually you're going to have to get rid of the car because it's going to take up space. You're not going to sit and wash it and care for it when all you can do is drive it up and down your driveway. And that's with human beings. The most valuable tool we as human beings have is our steering wheel, which is our ability to change. our behavior, our ability to change our beliefs. You know, I think this is the most precious thing we have, because you could have a better life tomorrow. A brand new life is one decision away. And a better relationship with your significant other is one awareness and one behavior change, one belief change away. It's amazing. I've seen it hundreds of times with my relationship with my wife, looking at these behaviors and going, oh, okay, I understand why she's doing that, because this is what her core value is. And she thinks that that's going to get her love. And now I have that understanding. And now I have that compassion. And now I can change my reaction to her behavior. And I can treat her with love and compassion, because ultimately I know that everything she does is her way of saying, please love me. Mm-hmm. And now I can be there and I can understand it and I can change. And when you give yourself that ability to change, there's nothing you can't do. There's no relationship that you can't fix or improve or grow, especially if you got two people that work together and have the ability and are in a safe place to look at each other and look at behaviors and to talk about it and even have fun and laugh and joke about it. And use that information to understand and be more compassionate towards each other. It's, I think, the most powerful thing you could give a relationship. Mm-hmm. Super powerful. This has been huge for myself and my relationships with every person I know. You know, one of the things I was thinking when you were asking your question is one of the things that helped me to understand the different personality styles is I went through the 9 different personality styles, and then I made a list of everybody I knew, all of my family members and close friends and people who I knew really well.
Right.
And I started putting them all into categories. And so I would look at, you know, I'd get like five of them in each category. And then I would just start to look at, okay, so the people that are in this category, what are their similarities? And that really, really helped me to be able to understand the different personalities mm-hmm. and also recognize these different characteristics in people that I met in the outside world.
Right.
And so I think that's a really super good skill or a good tool for people to do, is to just start making and finding out what number the people that are closest to you. I mean, definitely your significant other, definitely your children or mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. You'll be amazed how it will improve your relationships very, very quickly by just simply understanding why they do what they do and what beliefs are driving that behavior.
Amazing. Yes. So we're almost there. 8 and 9.
All right. So number 8. So we talked a little bit about the 8s. The 8s are the my way or the highway, real strong personalities. These are kids that had to grow up fast. They had to become an adult at an early age. And their biggest fear is fear of being vulnerable. So they combat that fear by being in control. They want to control the environment and the people around it. They're very strong personalities. They're doers and thinkers. They repress feeling. A lot like sevens, threes, and eights are feeling repressed. We tend to be the most popular personality style in like sales and business and stuff, because, you know, we get things done and, you know, failure doesn't really bum us out too much. And so the eights are really strong, and you probably know somebody who's an eight. They tend to like to be in control of their own lives. So a lot of them are going to be self-employed business owners, or they'll be the managers of a company. You know, if you ended up on a deserted island with 20 people, you know, within a week, the eight's going to be in charge, mm-hmm. basically. They're the ones that lead the group. And it's funny, because when you listen to them, they even talk. Their language is orders, commands, and demands. And they talk about what they do. It's funny. When I call my mother-in-law, the phone conversation with her, I know what it's going to be like every time. This is what I've done. This is what I'm doing. And this is what's on my list that I got to do next. I got to go. Bye. Boom. And she'll hang up. It's funny. They're so doing oriented. The first thing they think about when they get out of bed in the morning is, what am I going to do today? Mm-hmm. When you watch them walk, it's funny because they even lean forward. Some of them, that their upper body is so pitched forward, it looks like they're almost going to fall on their face.
Mm.
And it's like they just get up, they throw their upper body, lean forward, and just walk. And get moving. So they're super motivated.
Right.
Super motivated. It's really interesting. The one thing that the eights want, these big, strong, they got kind of a thick skin,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they've got they're like an M&M, you know, they're like a, got a big heart, big soft heart, but it's protected by that thick skin. And what they want more than anything in the world, these big, strong, powerful people, is they just want to relax. They want to be children because they want that childhood innocence that was taken from them. They never had. And so what they do is they test people. They hate wimpy people. And so they'll actually kind of poke a stick at you to see how you'll respond. And if you back down to an eight, you're a wimp and you can't be trusted. And so they'll actually create fights just to see how you'll respond.
Wow.
Yeah, super interesting. And what they want really more than anything in the world is they want to know that there's strong people all around them that are taking care of everything so they can finally just relax and be a kid. So, and then the nines are peacemakers. And the nines, a lot of times when nines were children, they had either conflicting adults or they had a parent that was an eight, real strong, you know, real strong personality. So the nine, like my wife had, my mother-in-law is an eight. And so her choice was, I can either follow the agenda of my mother and do what my mom says, or I can fight against her agenda and have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they chose peace. And so what the nines do is they kind of get in the habit of going along with other people. So if you said to a nine, hey, let's go out for lunch, where do you want to go? They're going to say, I don't care, wherever you want to go is fine. And so they get very, very good at knowing what other people want. In fact, they spend a good chunk of their life constantly monitoring the people. So if person A, you know, if you got person A has an agenda and person B has an agenda and person C has an agenda, the agenda of the nine will be the intersecting parts of all of the people around them.
Mm.
And so the person who has the most influence over a nine is the last person who talks to them. You know, so they're constantly changing and adjusting, and it kind of and it makes them angry. But they don't blow up like the eights will. They don't send their energy out. They do passive aggressive stuff. So they'll tune you out, and you know, they'll do little passive aggressive stuff. And so the most important thing for the nines to do is to not worry so much about what other people want and just mm-hmm. kind of do their own thing. You know, it's neat. One of the things about the Enneagram is it also, the Enneagram, your personality style, you actually will move as you become more healthy, become more like another personality. Like the nines become more like threes. And so nines and threes are very common relationships. And so like my wife, you know, she's a nine. When she gets up and sets goals and gets active, she's like charged up and she like turns into a different person. So when she's under stress, she takes on some of the negative characteristics of the six, mm-hmm. which she can become doubtful and pessimistic. And that's why sometimes the nines, they have their motivation is kind of like start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, because they have that motivation of the three, which is the gas pedal, but then they got the brakes of the six. And so they're kind of start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And that's their, you know, that's kind of their motivation. So the path for the nines is to tap into more of that three qualities that they have, set goals, take action, make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really ultimately the goal for the nines. The nines are wonderful because the nines spend so much time merging with the other personality styles. They're actually a little bit of all of the personalities. Mm-hmm. So if the nines are feelers and thinkers, they repress doing because they would rather, if they don't do something, they don't have the run the problem of creating conflict. So they sometimes will choose to do nothing. Right. But if those nines can set goals and can take action and can get motivated, they're like some of the most, like Gandhi, you know, some of the world-changing people, because they understand everybody. They understand Absolutely. All the personalities. So they're like a, you know, really good mix of all of them.
What amazing explanation of those nine different personality types, and so fascinating, really. And there's just so many more questions that evolve through that, and we only have less than nine more minutes together. So it's, you know, streaming my mind to what is the most potent question to be asking in this moment. And you talked a bit about the partnership aspect of it. So people choosing partners that are often the opposite. And I'm wondering if you have anything to share in regards to parents and their children and like the shaping of the personality and how, if you've seen anything in relation to that, like the number, the personality type, that how that complements parents.
Yeah. You know what? There's a book called The Enneagram of Parenting, which is really cool. And there is... I think the author's last name is like Waggle, W-A-G-E-L-E. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon for $2. But it talks about the different personalities of the different kids and what you can do to help them to become more well-rounded. So I'll give you an example. My daughter, who's a seven, sevens are feeling repressed. And so what my wife and I would do when my daughter was having, you know, an issue or a conflict with somebody is we'll specifically target feelings. Well, how does that feel? And so we want her to strengthen her ability to feel. So we would kind of target questions on feeling. Another thing that the sevens have an internal frame of reference. So the ones, fives, the sevens, and eights have an internal frame of reference. They see things from their point of view. And so it's very difficult for them to see things from another person's point of view. See, me as a three, I see things from the other person's point of view. And so one of the things that we would do, my wife and I have an incredible, incredible tool that we use, and we call it Frog. And whenever we're in a disagreement and we can't see the other person's point of view, we just trade places. So we'll just say the word frog and we just hop into the other person's place. So then I'll discuss the situation from her point of view and then she'll discuss it from my point of view. And it's amazing because within a couple minutes, you get such a deeper understanding of what the situation looks like from another person's perspective. So these people that have these internal frame of references, they see life from their point of view, and so it's not as easily for them to see things from another person's point of view. And so that's another thing that we would say to my daughter is we would say, you know, how do you think they feel?
Right.
What is this situation from their point of view? What's their perspective? What do you think that they want? So we would ask my daughter questions or guide her to strengthen some of the parts of her life. Another thing that I did, which I think is one of the best things I did in parenting, is I got my daughter when she was five. And I know that sevens do not like to be told what to do. And so I told my daughter, I said, hey, I promise you, you can make all your own decisions. I will never tell you what to do. As long as your decisions don't break two rules, as long as they don't put you in harm's way, and as long as they don't prevent you from having all of the opportunities that you should have in your life. Because I'm your father, I'm your guardian, that's my job. So whatever you want to do, as long as you don't break those two rules, I'm cool with. Because I know she doesn't want to be told what to do anyhow, and I'm not going to have a connection with my daughter by constantly telling her what to do. So I know her personality style and I knew how to treat her. And I tell you, you know, when these teenagers go through like their little separation phase at age 13, 14, and 15, I feel sorry for the people who overparent. The ones, you know, when you see them in the supermarket, they go, don't touch that. Why? Because I said so. I'm the parent. You know, the people who overparent their children, I believe, are going to have a much tougher time when their kids go through that separation phase. When my daughter went through that separation phase, there really wasn't even a separation phase because I have been treating her as an individual with her own voice as one-third of our family. There's nothing to separate from.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that I got just because I understand the Enneagram. I understand my daughter. I know what her beliefs are. I know what she likes and what she doesn't like. And I can parent her in a way that I know is going to be successful.
Well, fascinating. Thank you so much, Matthew. Would you mind repeating those two books that you mentioned, one at the beginning and then one just recently? And then also any way that if folks are intrigued as much as I am about who you are, the way to get in contact with you?
Sure. So if you look under Enneagram, the book I think is the best is Don Riso. It's called The Wisdom of the Enneagram. His name is R-I-S-O. But you could go, and then the other one is the Enneagram of Parenting. But if you go into, if you go into to like Amazon and just type in Enneagram, Enneagram is spelled Enneagram. So it's, Ennea is the Greek word for nine, and then gram is the shape. There's a books on the Enneagram at work. Helen Palmer is from the Bay Area, and she's got one on the Enneagram in love and relationships. There's another one on the Enneagram at work. There's a lot of different books that people have taken the Enneagram and have used it. There's even books on like the Enneagram in psychotherapy and the Enneagram of NLP, mm-hmm. where you could take a look at your personality, look at some of the issues, and then there's exercises in there that you can do to help you get out of those habits. So have fun with it. There is a lot of really good books out there on the Enneagram.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for that information. And then you're going to give us how to contact you?
Yeah, my email is insighttraining@msn.com. INSIGHT training@msn.com. So if you've got any questions or anything that I can help you with, you are welcome to send me an email.
Fascinating. And I look forward to having you on again to talk about all the other multitudes of things that I know you could have shared about tonight.
I would love to. Great. I would love to. I appreciate you and all the effort that you put towards creating this show and helping people with your information. I've told you before, and I want to tell you publicly, you are a fabulous mix of feminine and masculine energy. You got that soft, vulnerable feminine side, but you got the let's make this thing happen masculine. You got a wonderful, wonderful mix, and I appreciate you tremendously.
Thank you, Matthew. All right, folks, stay tuned for Ecotopia coming up next. Thank you for joining us on Love in the 21st Century. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. No matter if you're a gardener, a farmer, a rancher, a landscaper, an architect, a teacher, a student, a business owner, someone who wants to create a conscious project, anyone who cares about creating restorative systems that take care of the earth and of human settlements, bringing us all towards a more sustainable future, will benefit from the internationally recognized Permaculture Design Certification Course in Chico, California. It will open doors in creating more sustainable and regenerative business communities, habits, and lifestyles. Permaculture is an ecological design science that mimics natural systems that thrive on their own, and it does this through integrating methods and techniques through design. That means that by working with nature instead of against nature, we use biomimicry to copy what natural systems do best. Thrive. Creating natural systems, house systems, economical systems, social systems, agricultural systems. In this 72-hour internationally recognized certification course, you will learn principles of permaculture, sectors and zones, patterns in nature, climate, water, soil, design methods, community, eco-village design, creating change, creative problem solving, what it is to be a designer, and more. This is the third local permaculture design certification training. It's coming up this fall, 4 weekends in October and November, so that everyone can still follow through with their other obligations and participate too. We have discounted positions for students and faculty, and also early bird prices and group prices. Keep an eye on the website for more details. www.perma-fun-k.com. We really care about making this certification accessible to all the community members, so we are bringing early bird discounts through June so that everyone can save their spot with a $250 deposit and pay for the rest of the course during the training. That way, you can prepare yourself for this certification with plenty of time without losing work or study days. This is a life-changing course that will put you on the right path of a personal journey towards regenerating this earth, your family, and the community around you. What are you waiting for? Go to www.perma-fun-k.com.
Yemaya o ago ago yo yemaya yemaya o go, yeah.